my word for tonight. If you're a man, be a man. And if you're a woman, all right. Good to be back on this Wednesday night. Like what I feel. Inspiration of faith, Genesis 26. If you have your sword and verse 18. And Isaac digged, that doesn't sound like proper English, again, the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded there an altar and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Somebody say that with me. We have found water. And he called it Sheba. Someone said Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. My thought tonight is Sheba. We have found water. We have found water. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your word. Strengthen, bless, anoint, minister to, heal, deliver, give guidance and direction and wisdom to your people. And we bless your name forever and ever in Jesus' wonderful, glorious, matchless name. You may be seated, my brothers and sisters. And so, Beersheba means the well of the oath. We like the well. People like what comes out of the well. But many people don't like the oath part. Now, I know we got to be cautious, and the Bible issues some wisdom concerning oaths. But it's not necessarily always something to be afraid of if done right. And here in this scenario, we have two oaths going on simultaneously. First, the oath that God made to Abraham to multiply his heritage and give him the land. God said, this is your land from the border of Egypt to the Euphrates River. It is still their land today. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the angel to the breaking of the day. His name became Israel. And big news today, you know I talk a lot about prophecy, and that is Israel, the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is that they are, and you were talking about the military, and of course, you know, I've talked here about the seven trumpets and the sixth trumpet war, specifically Revelation 9, 13 through 18, concerning the Euphrates River War, which we've been along the Euphrates with between 120 and 250,000 troops. We've been fighting along the Euphrates now for a decade, and just today is, and it's been boiling for a while, but Israel has been seriously considering a unilateral strike against Iran. Of course, this is concerning the United States heavily. So Israel is wondering if the United States is going to step in. Something to keep your eye on. And obviously all the more reason to pray for our troops, but use extreme caution in that area, especially like you were saying, any young men considering that. Anyway, I could talk a while, but I have serious, serious concerns because of what the prophecies say. But going back to the point, God said that's your land. And of course, it's also been big news in the last 2 or 3 months. You know, it's always a going back and forth deal. But a huge effort has been put forth, and they can't strike a deal between Israel and the Palestinians. So, and I've talked here about the confirmation of the covenant of Daniel 9:27, but Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority has submitted application to the United Nations Security Council trying to get them to approve that they would be their own independent state with half of East Jerusalem being their capital. And this, of course, simply is going to make things all the more dangerous and difficult, and Israel's not just going to stand by and let their land be taken away by the world government. And so God said, this is your land. And then there was the oath of peace between Isaac and King Abimelech to be kind one to another. Of course, that's something we should treat everybody with kindness, but you've got to understand, Abimelech was the king of the Philistines. So, as a result of the workers finding water, Isaac named the well Sheba, and the city became Beersheba. Now, of course, many interesting things have happened in Beersheba. This is where Jacob had his dream about the stairway to heaven after leaving Beersheba. Then the prophet Elijah took refuge in Beersheba when Jezebel ordered him dead. And then the sons of the prophet Samuel were judges in Beersheba. And of course today, it's the seventh largest city in Israel. So I'm just simply showing us how God can take something seemingly insignificant and small and make something very significant and vast with it. But I ask the question, is there a connection between our God and the discovery of blessings in our lives, the uncovering of blessings, the opening of the channel of the blessings of God? I'm not necessarily even talking about salvation. If we have obeyed Acts 2:38, that is settled. And we've repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Our lives have been changed, transformed. We're walking with Him. Our salvation is settled. Hallelujah. But at the, you know, I understand the Scripture does not teach unconditional eternal security, but neither does it teach eternal insecurity, that it's God is not fickle. Hallelujah. Our salvation is much more secure than we give Him credit for. And some people live in constant anxiety, wondering if the slightest little mistake is going to, you know, God is not looking to take away your salvation, I'm sorry. He wants everybody to be saved. And it grieves His heart. You have to run out of the book of life, but He longs to put them back in if they were once in, and He wants everybody in. But it started with a discovery and a declaration. Sheba, Sheba. We have found water. Now, a little background. Both of Isaac's parents, Sarah and Abraham, they're gone. They're off the scene. And you can understand, excuse me if I'm a wrinkled, sweaty mess, but that's just... And they're gone. They're off the scene. Gone. I understand tears and wrinkles are in today anyway. My parents are planning a trip. My mom said, Craig, I guess we're going to, you know, tell me about checking bags. I said, Mom, don't check a bag. She said, well, Dad's going to bring a suit. I said, it doesn't matter. Wrinkles are in today. Just stuff it in the bag and put it on the plane. Anyway, you know, I got a hem that's coming undone here on one of my cuffs. And I thought, I always have my wife fix them. I thought, it's in. It's in for everything to be coming apart and ripped. And you pay more now for rips and tears and wrinkles. You know, my latest pair of jeans, well, I'm not a big jean wearer, but the last pair I bought, they got built-in wrinkles. They got built-in iron marks. It's really cool. Stuff we used to try to get rid of, you know. But anyway, so here Isaac, he's used to leaning on Dad. He's used to leaning on Abraham. And they're gone. They're off the scene. And Isaac is left facing a serious famine. A lot of times we don't appreciate those that we lean on for wisdom until they're gone. And he's got to face this thing. It's him and God, but probably out of a sense of desperation to deal with the situation, he goes to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Now, that would make sense because he is the civil ruler in charge, Abimelech. And so I'm sure, like if you're getting a building permit to build a new building, you might have to go in the office of some city official that's leaning back in his chair smoking a cigar and shooting the breeze talking about his latest deal at the casino in Shreveport. But yet you got to get permission from this guy or his committee to get a permit to build a church. Sometimes we got to do, but you know what? We can be a witness. We can be a light, praise God. And we just never know what seeds may be planted, but who knows what Abimelech would have told Isaac to do. And I'm sure Isaac would have done fine dealing with him, but all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord appears to Isaac, and he gives him some very clear instruction. He said, Isaac, whatever you do, don't go to Egypt. Now, some Christians spiritualize everything, and I probably had the tendency to do that when I first became a Christian. Don't let me scare you if I get near you. I'm just L. Craig Bowe, but seriously, I used to kind of, you know, I felt at first, at 15, I was starting to fall into that trap of, you know, you wonder about every little thing, you worry about all these little things, and you realize you kind of mature in the Lord, and you realize, you know, God leaves some things to us, and yes, the Scripture teaches we should be led by the Spirit, and as many as the sons of God, they're led of the Spirit of God, but God, in other words, you know, let me just give you a couple little stupid, crazy little examples. It's like, be honest with you, God could really care less if your favorite food is Mexican or Chinese or just, you know, what we would call Western American food, you know, or salmon or sushi. He really doesn't care what your favorite... In other words, God leaves some things up to us. You know, if you want a purple car with pink polka dots and you want a lime green car and you want white, God really doesn't care whether your favorite's Ford or Chevy or Toyota or Nissan or, you know, on and on and on, or Fiat, or on the list goes. You know, God really doesn't care if your preference is cotton or wool or polyester or, you know, some of these other silk or whatever. But he said, whatever you do, Isaac, don't go down into Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. There are some things God says. He puts up a nice no trespassing sign and says, don't go. Now, there was a time he told them to go to Egypt. But if God said, now is not the time, but it was for a specific purpose, and then he said, there would come a time I'd bring you out. And he did. Hallelujah. Instead, dwell in the land that I have chosen for you. This is how you and your heritage will be blessed. This is how you will multiply. So it began to happen just as God said. And Isaac cultivates the land, receives back 100 times. And oh, the Lord is good. And we should never... We should do our best to recognize the goodness of God. And of course, this is the time of year we often do that. But it was the leper who went back and gave him thanks that was made whole. And God just kept multiplying his flocks and his herds and his servants. And the Bible said he became very great. Yeah. David said, your gentleness has made me great. Not your screaming in my ear. God doesn't. Not your harshness. Not your iron fist. Not your strong leadership capability. But your gentleness has made me great. You know, because God doesn't have to prove anything. Maybe we feel like we do sometimes. But whenever He comes through, we can say with confidence, this was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Oh, it's good to be glad and rejoice in what He's done. But what I'm leading up to tonight is for us to recognize that obviously something that is extremely important for the existence of life is water. Can't survive without it. And, you know, you can live a lot longer without food than you can water. You will die of dehydration faster than you'll die of starvation. And here, for us to really comprehend, you know, we take it for granted. You know, we buy a house and it's, you just turn on the faucet. And, you know, I grew up in a suburb of San Jose, and so there, water was always there. Water was always available to us. My dad would come home, water the lawns for 20 minutes, turn on the sprinklers. Of course, he put that sprinkler system in himself. But, you know, it wasn't until I started traveling and realized that many places don't have access to city water, and they're on wells. Are you on city water here or well? City? Yeah, so that's good. That's a blessing. That's convenient. Where I pastored in Indiana, they were on an old well. The church was an old horse farm there in Indiana, and they tied the church in when they built the church into the old hand-dug well that the house was on, which became the parsonage, which they had church in for a while. And you could see the bottom. You could see the water. It was only about 30 feet deep, and it was one of those old hand-dug wells from the early 1900s. It was really pretty cool, lined with rocks. But it was also dangerous. It's the kind of thing that makes a pastor nervous when you got little kids running around. And but it made me appreciate water more. Of course, that was, you know, I already kind of got that when sometimes I'd go to a church and hook up my trailer and the water was horrifically awful. And it was because of the sulfur. And it would turn everything yellow and orange. And it would stink like a skunk. And I'm thankful this living water is pure. Hallelujah. But water, think about water for just a moment. We take it for granted. But to them, you know, it's always at our fingertips. But to them, they're traveling with hundreds and maybe thousands of head of livestock, cattle and sheep and goats. So even if God said, go get the land, it's yours, that's the spiritual promise from God. And God would always provide. But God would leave some things up to them, such as finding water. But you know what? If you're in the general plan of God, God's going to supply all the details, is He not? He is. I mean, if you get the big picture right, God will take care of the little stuff too. But we need to seek Him for His wisdom and guidance and direction, but then use the brain God gave us. You're going to make some mistakes along the way. It's not the person who makes mistakes. It's the person who's not willing to try that gets messed up. And so they've got all this livestock and they depend on it. You and I mean, I know they say eight-ounce glasses a day. I probably rarely drink that in just pure water. You know, I probably get it other ways. But a cow or a horse, they're going to drink gallons and gallons a day. So if you've got hundreds, anybody here ever work on any kind of ranch or dairy? I worked on a dairy once just for a very short time. They had 1,150 cows that had to be milked every day on one dairy. You know how much water those Holsteins drink? You're talking thousands of gallons of water. So they're migrating, and God says, there's your land. This is where we need to be. But we've got to have water, or it doesn't matter. We can't stay here. We can't camp here. So when Isaac's servants found water, it was a huge deal. Sheba, we have found water. Are you hearing me tonight? I love good music, but I don't care how good the music is. I love good preaching, but I don't care how many degrees and how great of a theologian if he's on worldwide broadcasting networks. I love good, nice, big, beautiful buildings, but I don't care how big and nice and architecturally designed the building is. If there is no water, we can't function. Are you hearing me? If there is no Holy Ghost, there is no life. Let me say that again more clearly. If there's no Holy Ghost, there's no life. You could purchase thousands of acres out in the desert and you might want to build a city, but if there's no source of water, I'm sorry, you can't build your city. You got to find a way to get some water there before you can design your city. And in California, my home state, they found a way to build aqueducts to feed water into the large metroplexes, specifically Los Angeles. And the California aqueduct runs down the San Joaquin Valley. And so the Sierra Nevada mountains and the lakes flow water into the Los Angeles area. Water is vital for life. It satisfies the thirst, provides the body with necessary minerals and hydration. It is a natural cleanser. And obviously, I think that would be one reason why God chose baptism. We're buried with Him in baptism. Got to have water for salvation too. Got to have natural water. Unless we be born of the water and of the Spirit. That is a literal reference to water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. We're not going to run out. But I can hear them running through the camp. Isaac! 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 We can bust out the barbecue now. We can celebrate. Break out the band. We have found water. We don't have to go back. We don't have to go any further. We've got it right here. Little fourth grade science, according to Webster, Merriam, water is the liquid that descends from the clouds as rain. I touched on this a little bit Sunday. Forms streams, lakes, seas. It is a major constituent of all living matter. We know Almighty God Himself is the source of all living matter. I mean, that's basic creation 101. God is the source. And that's a wonderful subject. But water is ubiquitous. Meaning that it is everywhere at the same time. I mean, I could go to your, what's the closest lake here? Something Creek Lake? Cedar Creek Lake. Is that your closest or you got a closer lake? Huh? Athens Lake? You got Athens Lake? Dude, you go to Athens Lake, get a jar, fill up your jar with water from Athens Lake, put a lid on it, hop in a jet or your personal helicopter, go to Lake Tahoe in the Sierras and dump that water in Lake Tahoe and it will blend in. Was that profound? Maybe it was too simple. You understand what I'm saying? You can receive the Holy Ghost in Beijing, China, and come back to Athens, and it's the same Holy Ghost and fire. He's the same everywhere. Now, don't get all whacked out and confused, because I hear a lot of people, a lot of famous people now saying, well, I'm religious, I'm spiritual. And you may call him Buddha, or you may call him Jesus, or you may call him Muhammad. Such is a doctrine from the lake of fire, from hell itself. It's called interfaithism, and there's other names, you know, for it. Interfaith religion is growing very rapidly, and it's becoming very popular, and it's being promoted by the Roman Catholic Church and by Tony Blair himself. He set up a whole network at Yale University called the Tony Blair Faith and Globalization Network, promoting one world government, promoting the religions of the world working together in harmony. In fact, the United Nations has its own United Religions Initiative in which they have regular meetings in which over 300 of the world's most influential religions meet on a regular basis. One of the official members is the Wiccan Church, which is the official Satan-worshipping church. And they say, hey, what difference does it make? All religions are valid pathways to the same God. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds fluffy and nice because it's non-threatening. Well, it's okay. It's okay if you're a different religion, if your God has a different name. After all, it's the same God. So, and I understand some of them, their motive is they think that's the pathway to peace because many wars are started over religious conflicts. But I'm sorry, I can't settle for that. Because if there's a puddle of battery acid, say whatever you want, I'm not drinking it. If there's a pond over here and it's something other than water, I'm going to be very careful before I take a bath in that, whatever it is. It may be poison. It may have toxins that'll kill you. So, thank God for pure water. Now, the problem is, a lot of our water today is not pure. And it's full of chlorine, fluoride. We used to think that was a good thing. And maybe in moderation, it's, I don't know, whatever, I'm not here to judge that. I don't know that we should be drinking it all the time, though. But you understand that so much of religion today has got all kinds of stuff in it that doesn't belong. Get me back to the pure, unadulterated, living water of the flow of the Spirit of Almighty God. So, back to the thought that He's ubiquitous. Thinking about Jesus and how His presence fills the universe. And I think I may have mentioned this here before, but it serves well here, that I think I've mentioned to you how that, years ago, Hubble telescope revealed to scientists, they came to the conclusion, I'm talking about well-educated, highly renowned scientists, that the universe cannot be measured. Now, Hubble is old technology, old stuff, but it was breakthrough technology in that it allowed them to see into space farther than mankind has ever been able to see before. Talking about seeing galaxies that they didn't know existed. And now, of course, they're seeing things that are mind-blowing. But the point is this, that in the middle of this panel discussion they were having, where they came to the conclusion that the universe cannot be measured. Now, stop and think about that for just a moment. They said the universe has no beginning and no end. Now, that's an eternal statement. For doctors of science to make such statements, to come to such conclusions, and in the middle of this, and this is years ago, back in the early 90s somewhere, and in the middle of this, one scientist perked up and said, kind of makes you believe in God, doesn't it? Kind of. Now, Pastor Grissom, I didn't need that to believe in God. I believed in God already, but it sure is nice for a change to have some backup info to say, hey, guess what? True science really is backing up the existence of God. And yet, He's ubiquitous. He fills the universe. There's no end to His presence. The universe cannot contain Him. And yet the universe has no end. Whoa! Give me a heart attack, man. To think about the power of God. And water is a type of the Spirit of God. It is a type of the nature of God. I know we like to think of God as having well-defined edges, solid, and He is. He's everything we need him to be. He is our rock. But God is also our living water. We can't put limits on God. How can you be something solid like a rock and something as merciful and gracious and loving as water at the same time? Can't figure God out. Can't figure God out. I got bones, but most of my body is water. You got to have solid matter and liquid working together in harmony. God is solid in that He is who He is. He alone is God. There's no God beside Him. His truth is as solid as whatever rock you want to name. His truth cannot be altered. His doctrine. But yet, when it comes to the flow of life and how it works with what He is, God is as loving and gracious as the Colorado River. Are you hearing me tonight? The first time water appears in the Bible is Genesis 1:2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was darkness upon the face of the deep in the beginning. There was void. There was, and of course you can get in all kinds of deep speculation and theology about what transpired between verse 1 and 2. Was there a gap, etc.? And that's an unending debate and discussion that's been going on for centuries, and it is interesting to talk about and think about. But that's really not my purpose tonight. But by divine design, water covers 71% of the earth's surface. That's the majority of the earth. God knew that water had to exist to accomplish His purpose. When His Spirit moved upon the waters, He began to use water for His advantage. On the second day of creation, God divided the waters in the atmosphere from the waters on the earth. As a result, the natural heaven they would call sky was formed. The natural heaven, sky. Water is powerful because God created it. But enough water moving in harmony can alter the landscape. It's amazing. You remember the December 26th, 2004 earthquake that was off the coast of Sumatra, Indonesia, that sparked the tsunami that killed over 300,000 people. That earthquake was so huge it was felt in Alaska. And now I've talked about this in relationship to the fourth trumpet, the speeding up of time, and how that specific earthquake, what geologists began to catch on to was how that it actually altered the axis of the earth, which before Noah's flood, the axis was perfectly perpendicular, which is why we always had perfect weather in the Garden of Eden, and it was a progression. But even up until Noah's flood, weather was pretty much awesome, like Honolulu all the time, I guess, whatever. And with Noah's flood, it altered the axis of the earth, giving us the four seasons, and the Lord said we'll have the four seasons until the end. But they said that particular earthquake actually altered the axis of the earth further and sped up the rotation of the earth. And they've noticed that with the Chile earthquake and the Japan earthquake, the 9.1 Japan earthquake. So they're catching on to these phenomenons. But going back to Noah's flood, what evolutionists said took millions and billions of years to form such places as the Grand Canyon. I know you've talked about this some here, but what's amazing is now some scientists are acknowledging that many of the world's most beautiful places that they say took millions and billions of years were carved out in a very short period of time by a massive worldwide flood like Grand Canyon. It's amazing the power of water. The amazing power. I see it where my parents live on the coast. Just every year, the difference, and it's very subtle, but if you look closely, things look different. And
God knew that water had to exist to accomplish His purpose. Now, H2O can manifest itself in three basic forms. Obviously, the liquid phase that we call water, but then ice, the solid phase. And then vapor, steam, clouds. The density, listen, the density of water and the form it takes is dependent on one word. I want you to get this. Very simple. Very fourth grade science. Temperature. Temperature. Bethany's had just a mild temperature last few days, couple days, since Sunday. So we've been taking her temperature just checking out her temperature. I think she got up to, where'd she go? I think she got up to 100, which isn't too bad at all. What is 98.6 the normal temp? Something like that, 98.6, 98.7. And temperature is important. Temperature is the very thing that alters the nature of water, whether it be liquid, frozen. Now, we all know people, when it comes to the things of God, they're just ice cold. What did the Lord say? I would, however, that you were cold or hot. If we're lukewarm, He'll spew us out of His mouth. Now, some things kind of taste good lukewarm. But have you ever tried to drink lukewarm coffee? I've met a few people who like lukewarm coffee, but not me. I either like it on ice or steaming hot, just to the point where it burns my tongue, but I don't like my tongue to get burnt. But God wants us hot. I've kind of come to like iced coffee, to be honest with you. But when it comes to the things of God, He said, I want you hot. Praise God. I know it's a constant battle, because there's a war that goes on within the soul. And it's just a lot easier to just chill, baby. Just chill, give me a big gulp, and a remote. And if I don't like what the preacher's saying, I'll change the channel. If I don't like what they're singing, I'll change the channel. But that's not real church, is it? Hey, give me good, old-fashioned, hot, Holy Ghost move of the Spirit, where souls and lives are being changed. Sheba, we have found water. And as a kid, I can't tell you what the latest stats are in sports. I played all kinds of different sports as a kid, just, you know, little league stuff. And, I mean, I know it's fun to watch, but, you know, I could never stand just watching. I wanted to get out there and get into it. I hated to sit on the bench. And probably to my own demise. Because my coach knew when I needed to be on the bench. So I wrestled with my attitude a little bit. You know, when he only let me go 7 innings on the mound instead of 9. You know what I'm saying? Somebody, it's time to get off the bench and get involved. And pick up your mitt. And pick up your ball. And pick up your bat. And get in the game. Now, the issue with many people, let me get back to water, is they want to live and stay in the shallow water. I was a kid, 3 years old. My mom and dad had a pool dug in our backyard. And it was a lot cheaper then to get a pool. Couldn't afford one now. But back then, in the early 70s, you could build a pool. I'm talking about a concrete pool complete with plumbing and everything for about $7,000. Now, at least you're starting at $30,000 for a pool like that. You know, kidney-shaped and all that. And so, anyway, this pool was really cool, but I was only 3 years old. So, they got a swimming instructor to come by. And now, what if this guy grabbed me by the neck and said, Craig, swim. And he threw me out in the deep end. I wouldn't be a very good swimming instructor, would it? He took his time with me. took me into the shallow water on the steps, made sure I could go back and forth, you know, then after, you know, 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot, and then he took the board away. But he was there, and I could swim in 4 foot water, and then I'd go further and further out. Finally, I could swim in the deep end by myself. Pretty soon, I was jumping off the diving board in the deep end. But he stayed with me the whole time. Now, we need the shallow water. We need the socials. Huh? We need the fellowships. We need the kind of stuff that went on here Saturday. That's good stuff. But then we need the moves of God and the power of God coming down and the prayer meetings and the altar calls. At some point, you're going to have to get out into the deep water. But some people are afraid of the deep water because they can't see what's under there. And, you know, I surfed as a kid and I never saw a shark, but you're out there bobbing, waiting for the next set of swells to come, and you don't know what's under your feet. That's kind of scary. There was just, most big surfing contests in California or Southern Cal, SoCal, you know, down off the coast of LA, Huntington Beach and San Diego, but they just had a big surfing contest near San Francisco. Now that's psychopathic because the water in San Francisco is chilly, ice cold. Even in the summer, you got to have a wetsuit. But they just had a big surfing contest with at least 25 of the world's most renowned surfers, and I can't remember his name, but one of the most famous of recent from Hawaii was in the middle of this contest, and he's out there and he sees this huge fin, this is just a couple days ago, coming straight for him. It's like yesterday. And he said, I'm out of here. He gets out of the water and he checks out of the contest. And I understand, the deep can be dangerous. But when it comes to spiritual things, God's with us. We have nothing to be afraid of. Why are some Pentecostals afraid of a move of God? I know that's not here, right? Nobody hears that way. But deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all your waves and billows are gone over me. I'm glad, I know I'm a little wild, but I'm glad I can be in a church where I can feel Jesus, the real Jesus. I can feel His presence and His joy. Musicians come, but in Luke 5:4, Jesus told Simon, He said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes because it was time to go into the deep. Water expands significantly as the temperature increases to super soft. And the church expands. All musicians, all praise singers come. The church expands as we live in the fire of His presence. So, just like various forms of water, He's still the same H2O. God can manifest Himself in a variety of ways. He's still Creator. He's still Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Healer, Provider, Son of God, Friend, Intercessor, Lawyer, Physician, Counselor, Righteous Judge, Mercy Giver. And then there came a time in John 4 that Jesus had a mission to go through that forbidden place the Jews called Samaria. It's interesting that in John 4:6, Jesus went to Jacob's well, sat on the well, and here comes that Samaritan woman to draw from the water, from the well. Jesus set the whole thing up, common as could be, for the purpose to minister in her life because she was drawing water, and Jesus arrested her attention by asking for a drink. Imagine the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob asking you for a drink. But He was setting the stage for a miracle, for a blessing, for her salvation. She was intelligent enough to recognize that Jesus was Jewish because she said, the Jews, sir, have no dealings with us. None. Maybe a little defensive. Maybe a little on edge because she had been hurt in her past. And this opened the door just like Jesus planned, because he responded with this paraphrasing: if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked and he would have given you living water. Our natural mind was trying to understand. You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. But it takes a supernatural revelation to comprehend the things of God. A person can have the highest IQ, but God still has to reveal certain things, because this carnal mind is enmity against God. Doctors sometimes struggle with the very basic concept of a designer and creator. And here's the difference. The natural body must have water to survive. Up to 70% of the human body is water. Very similar to the percentage of earth. But Jesus told the woman that everyone who drinks of this natural water, like from that well, will thirst again. You're going to have to drink again. However, anyone who drinks from the water from heaven, the Holy Spirit, will never thirst again. Never. He went so far as to say that it actually becomes a well springing from within us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you hear me? Huh? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That it's not just for our salvation. It's not just to meet our needs. But it's to become a well that others can draw from. When's the last time you gave somebody a drink? When's the last time you offered somebody to drink from the well that is in you, and you, and you? God wants us to be living wells. Living wells. Stand to your feet. Habamushatayalamaki. And then it says it all in John 7:37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. You understand what the Scripture is saying? That if we believe, it is natural, it is normal, it is perfectly in sync with the will of God to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus wasn't glorified yet. This explains how that in Acts 5:12, by the hands of the apostles, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. It also explains Acts 8:17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Father, anoint us tonight. I want to do something a little different tonight. I want to ask that we empty these pews, and I know I do that, but a little different in that I want you to come as quickly as you can on this Wednesday night, and don't pray just yet. That sounds strange for a Pentecostal preacher. The reason why I need you to move quickly is so that we can find somebody to pray with. I want, if possible, everybody to make their way down these aisles. But before you start praying, I want you to find one person. You're going to be their evangelist tonight. I want you to find them. Go to them as it's appropriate. Just tell them, hey, I appreciate you. If we could not block these aisles, come up as close as we can. You got people coming in behind you. Praise God. Brothers with brothers, perhaps. Husbands, wives, children, teenagers, young adults. If you want to be with your parents, or if you want to be with other young people, whatever, be led of the Holy Ghost. I'm doing this for a reason. I don't do this every service, but I feel led to do this tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to look at them. Tell them, I appreciate your faith. I appreciate your faith. God is going to use your faith right now. So you're not praying for yourself. You're praying for your neighbor. Now look at him. Tell him, I have one purpose here tonight. When I pray for you, God is going to supernaturally increase your anointing and the living water that flows out of you. Remember, you are a well. There is a well inside of you. And when I pray for you, God is going to increase the anointing in your life to release that living water that flows out of you to other lives. Would you pray? And as you pray, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to pray for this whole congregation. I want you to pray for one another. Praise God. Don't be looking at me. I want you to pray for one another. Would you pray for one another right now? In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, mighty God, for your people called by your name out of darkness into your marvelous light. And even right now, from the crown of every head to the sole of every foot, let a supernatural anointing be increased. Lord, you anointed us from the moment you filled us with the Holy Ghost. But you said it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Would you somehow, Father of Heaven, your name is Jesus, would you increase? Take us, take this church, take every child of God to the next level in your supernatural anointing, that there be a release. Come on, somebody. I want you to proclaim a release. Come on, speak that word in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak release over your neighbor. Holy Ghost, be released in us.
I need you.
Living water, be released in us. You got to speak to those things that be not as though they are. Come on. Building up your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I see young people crying out for the living water. There is a release in these young people here tonight. There was a release in hearts all across the sanctuary. Come on, speak release to somebody in the name of Jesus.
It is His will that every need you are important to me. I need you to survive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I need you.
It's that living water.
You're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will. applied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Until He comes.
this glorious church. I didn't join, no, I was born. I've had a new birth. And some glorious day, I'm gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my work, I'm in this church. Well, I'm in this church, this glorious church.
Thank you.